One way to get an argument going in gatherings of business leaders, say two words, China tariffs. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. The U.S. hits China with punitive tariffs. China retaliates. That's at the center of 3 days of hearings starting today. The Office of the U.S. Trade Representative will hear sharply diverging views from American businesses about $50 billion worth of China tariffs. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports.
The tariffs would hit a wide range of Chinese imports, including parts made in China for U.S. manufacturers, like Lucerne International, a Michigan auto parts supplier. Lucerne CEO Mary Buchsiger is scheduled to testify today. Her message?
There's unintended consequences of these tariffs.
Lucerne imports hinges from China that are used in Jeep Wranglers. Buchsiger says she can't find an American manufacturer to make them, and the tariffs would cost her more than $7 million, possibly forcing her business to close.
But it could cripple the entire supply chain, basically sending waves all the way through the entire Midwest.
Buchsiger is asking for an exemption from the tariffs. Simon Lester of the Cato Institute says the only other thing that could stop them are successful negotiations.
But I don't think there's any likelihood that the hearings themselves will lead to the tariffs being abandoned. This is more about the U.S.-China trade negotiation.
If the negotiations fail, President Trump will be free to levy the tariffs in a few weeks. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Nothing stops the dynamo of Europe from cranking out economic power, or so we thought. There's news today that German economic growth was cut in half the last quarter. Let's say good morning to the BBC's Jenny Hill in Berlin.
Good morning to you.
So what happened to economic growth over the last 3 months in Germany?
Well, it wasn't quite what analysts were hoping for. They thought that the first quarter would see growth of 0.4%. Instead, it grew by just 0.3%, which is actually half the rate of growth from the previous quarter at the end of 2017. Disappointing. There are analysts, of course, starting to say, oh, my goodness, does this mean that, you know, the Germany, the motor of the European economy is starting to splutter and fail? I would say not. It's disappointing. There were a number of reasons that growth was rather disappointing. Among them, for example, a higher number of strikes than normal, a higher number of public holidays in March than usual due to the way that Easter fell. Also, of course, don't forget that Germany was without a government for a very long time, and that straddled this quarter too. That meant that government spending was lower than it would normally have been.
And I see some analysts also think that the flu, the influenza, may have held Germany's economy back during the quarter in question. It was a bad flu season there?
Yeah, it was actually. And I suffered myself 3 weeks off work. It was a really ghastly bug, and pretty much everyone I knew came down with it. So, yes, analysts, as you say, do lay some of the blame at the door of bugs doing the rounds.
So macroeconomic effects of feeling awful. Jenny Hill with the BBC in Berlin. Thank you so much.
Always a pleasure.
A teachable moment today from Turkey on central bank independence. The Turkish currency, the lira, fell sharply after that country's president said he wants to take tighter control over monetary policy. President Erdogan is up for re-election next month and suggested to Bloomberg News that after he wins, he'd push interest rates lower. Now, there's a long history in many countries of leaders pumping up the economy, sparking inflation, undercutting the currency. Let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London up 0.3%. Dow and Nasdaq futures down 0.2%. U.S. interest rates back above 3% this morning, 3.02% on the 10-year yield. Naturalized U.S. citizens can vouch for their parents, brothers, or sisters. It's one way for family members to get official permission to live in the U.S. permanently. But President Trump says this doesn't make sense for a modern economy. Well, what do we know about families and immigration? From the Marketplace Hub at the IdeaStream newsroom in Cleveland, Adrian Ma reports.
Arturo Luna is 42, and for almost half his life, he's lived in Cleveland. But he grew up in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. Ask him why he moved here, and he'll tell you.
Well, it's a long story, a love story.
Luna met his wife while she was vacationing in Mexico, and in 1999, he moved to Cleveland to be with her. A few years later, they had a son. And Luna says at the time, he was struggling financially, bussing tables for minimum wage at a local Cheesecake Factory restaurant.
Working hard at night, and the next day I had to take care of my son. And then I go shopping for diapers, and whatever I make one day before, I spend the whole thing. I was like, oh my God.
But soon, he and his wife would get some help. Luna sponsored his mom for a green card. She moved in with them. And Luna says, with his mom taking care of the baby during the day, he and his wife could both work. And several years later, with the money they saved, he was able to buy one of these. An industrial steam cleaner.
Start the machine to warm it up, especially with the cold weather.
Today, Luna runs his own carpet cleaning business and has three employees. Jim Russell, who studies migration at Cleveland State University, says stories like these illustrate how the U.S.'s family visa program can benefit individuals and the larger economy.
If we want our economy to be dynamic, we need immigrants.
According to the Congressional Research Service, about a third of immigrants to the U.S. who were sponsored by a family member in 2016 were either parents or siblings. And if those visas were eliminated, a study by economists at Wharton Business School figures the result would be 1.3 million fewer jobs over the next decade. Russell says that'd be a problem for shrinking Midwest cities, where immigrants are helping to fill job openings up and down the skill spectrum. He says curbing family visas could send people elsewhere.
And instead of going to Cleveland, they'll go to Toronto, or they'll go to Sydney.
Or immigrants already living here who want to be near their parents and siblings may decide to leave. In Cleveland, I'm Adrian Ma for Marketplace.
I want to thank the crew. Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, and Daniel Shin. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.